This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. You're probably familiar with plenty of conspiracy theories and with rumors about large corporations that are secretly controlled by Satanists and other evil forces. My guest, Patricia Turner, is a folklorist who is studying rumors and conspiracy theories circulating in the black community. There are rumors that certain fast food chicken franchises and athletic shoe companies are secretly controlled by the Ku Klux Klan. One conspiracy theory alleges that AIDS was created and spread by the government to kill off African Americans. Turner is a professor of African American and African Studies at the University of California at Davis. Her new book is called I Heard It Through the Grapevine. She told me about a rumor she calls Lights Out, which is now spreading around the country.
Well, it, like all rumors, exists in multiple versions depending upon where you hear it. Here in Northern California, most versions go that the upcoming weekend is gang initiation weekend, and that for the recruitees to get into the gang, they have to leave the inner city, they have to leave the hood, and drive at night with their lights out. When a car encounters them and flashes its lights using the standard driver courtesy to let them know their lights are out, they are to follow that car and eventually kill the driver when the opportunity presents itself, and then they will get into the gang. Here in California, the gangs that are identified are the Crips and the Bloods. But as I've talked to people in Detroit, Chicago, Washington, elsewhere, places where those gangs are not prominent in the news, it's another gang that's mentioned. Or in the case of Detroit, an informant told me that this was a new gang that wanted to establish its turf, and this was how it was going to initiate its members.
Now, how do you know that this is just a rumor?
Well, the police and journalists in all of the cities where the rumor has escalated, they have sources, they have informants in the gang world, and they're just as surprised by the rumor as the rest of us. The standard sources that the police rely upon have no reason to believe that this ritual has been designed and will be implemented.
Well, do you have any idea how a rumor like this gets started and how it spreads to cities around the country?
Well, that's always one of the first questions, and it's always one of the most difficult to answer. In the case of rumors such as this one, there's certainly been a lot of attention to gangs in the news of late. There's certainly been a lot of attention paid to the assaults on foreign tourists in Florida. And I think that in our contemporary environment, gangs are the real bogeymen. They're the real nefarious bad guys out there. And I think that gangs make the news when their activities seem to be encroaching on the activities of the safe population. So all of these elements combine together in a very familiar rumor format or legend format is updated to fit the concerns of the time. In terms of how the rumors spread, the Lights Out is a particularly interesting example because these rumors have spread largely through fax machines, through email, so very modern technological grapevines on the one hand, but other informants have told me about hearing it in very traditional ways. Again, my informant from Detroit was getting her braids done at a beauty parlor on Saturday, and the proprietor of the beauty salon was making a real point out of telling all of her customers not to flash their lights that weekend because of this upcoming initiation. So this rumor is traveling in very standard conventional ways, as well as utilizing, if you will, all of the modern technology available for communication today.
So if any of us hear this, we should be reassured it's just a rumor?
Right.
Let's move on to another kind of rumor, and there are a lot of rumors about different corporations saying that these companies are really controlled by the Ku Klux Klan. You've come across rumors like this with several major companies. Maybe you could run through what some of those companies are.
Okay, the first rumor I encountered connected the Church's Fried Chicken franchise to the Ku Klux Klan. And informants would tell me that the Klan owned Church's Chicken and that they put something in the recipe so that when black men ate the chicken, they were sterilized. as a result of consuming the chicken. And people would verify this rumor in one of two ways. They would say they knew it was true because a friend had seen an expose on a television talk show, or that a friend had read it in the newspaper. Folklorists call these friends fofs, friends of a friend, because they're one step removed from the person who's usually telling you the rumor. Churches was one of the companies that confronted a KKK allegation. Reebok Athletic Wear, British Knights Athletic Wear confronted a KKK rumor, I think largely because of the Knights in the name British Knights. There was an association there. A little-known athletic wear company named Troop confronted this rumor. And what was interesting about the Troop example was people would say that the name of the product, Troop, stood for to rule over oppressed people. Troop. Another company that encountered the KKK allegation, probably the most recent example, is Snapple Iced Tea. And there was a great deal of media attention to that one. Informants would say that Snapple was owned by the Klan, and their proof was a K that's on the label, or the ship that's on the label of the Snapple Iced Tea bottle. People will say that that's that was a slave ship that is being celebrated in the label.
What does Snapple have to say about the K and the ship?
The Snapple Corporation took a very unusual stance. They bought advertising in major newspapers in Northern California where they thought the rumor was most popular, and categorically denied the association, categorically denied the rumor. Most companies who are targeted by these rumors prefer not to take such a public position. They like to let the rumors die on their own, or they think that the rumors will die on their own. And they're afraid that by mentioning it publicly, even in the course of a denial, that that will plant the rumor in the minds of people who haven't heard it before, and that they might choose to avoid their product.
Is there any pattern that you can fit the companies into who have been rumored to be affiliated with the Klan? Like, why those companies? Why are they chosen?
In looking at the companies, I've been able to isolate a few characteristics that seem to emerge across the board. Their products tend to be at the upper end of the price scale in that given group. For example, the Reebok cycles, and there were other cycles that Reebok was involved with that had to do with them supporting apartheid in South Africa. Those really flourished after the introduction of the pump basketball shoe, which at that time cost $175. So they were very much at the upper end of the price range. Well, Snapple Iced Tea is at the upper end of the beverage price range. Liz Claiborne Clothes, another company that's been accused of Klan affiliation. Liz Claiborne Clothes are at the upper end of the price scale.
How do these rumors actually affect behavior?
In some instances, the consumers will leave the products alone, certainly altogether, and a company like Troop went bankrupt shortly after the rumors gained popularity about its products. Now, they never connected their bankruptcy with the rumors. They always said that it was the fickleness of the fashion industry that contributed to the company's demise. But in point of fact, it did happen after the rumors were quite popular. I find many informants who, when I ask them if they believe the rumor, will say, well, it does seem a little bit far-fetched. And then I'll say, well, are you going to buy any more Church's Chicken or Reebok shoes or Liz Claiborne clothes? And they'll go, well, no, to be on the safe side, I'm not going to. So that behavior is affected even in people who ostensibly say that they don't believe the item.
My guest is Patricia Turner. She's an associate professor of African American and African Studies at the University of California at Davis. She's also the author of the new book, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, Rumor in African American Culture. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Patricia Turner is with us. We're talking about her new book on the subject of rumor in African American culture. Now, a lot of the rumors that you've been studying are really more like conspiracy theories, where where the government or some government agency is perceived to have conspired to either have created the AIDS virus and planted it in the African American community, or to have put liquor stores on every corner so as to weaken the black community. Do you want to mention some other rumors that fit into this cycle?
Another really prominent one, perhaps the one that was most easy for me to collect versions of, was that the government had either designed crack cocaine and intentionally put it in inner city areas and made it available, and the government's motive for this was to diminish the black population, or that the government, after crack became a drug of choice, allowed it to proliferate, did not extend itself in terms of controlling the drug or controlling the dissemination of the drug. Again, the government's goal in this being to allow blacks to die off.
Now, for anyone who's not familiar with these conspiracy theories, they might sound a little far-fetched, but they really have a very wide circulation, and some very, I think, influential people support them.
That's right. Many people hear these in the street, and they hear them in the beauty parlor, in the school, and so forth. But they also hear them from their ministers. They hear them from community leaders and community activists, from doctors. There are doctors who claim that AIDS was designed as a mechanism of genocide, medical doctors with all of the credentials. So very influential people have gotten on the bandwagon behind some of these.
And even a scene that you remind us of in your book from the movie Boys in the Hood furthers one of these theories. You want to very briefly describe the scene?
Yeah, in the film Boys in the Hood, the character Furious Styles is trying very hard to keep his son Trey on the straight and narrow, keep him headed towards college, keep him away from drugs. And if he can, he also wants to help Trey's friends, the other boys in the hood as well. He takes them to an empty lot where there had been a black business, I believe, and he starts talking about why these businesses were disappearing and the detrimental effect drug abuse was having on their community. And he starts to say, you know, you didn't see these drugs before, and where did our people get the planes to go to South America and get these drugs? And where did we get the laboratories to design these drugs? Don't you think that there's something more behind this? You shouldn't use these drugs because you're doing just what the man, meaning the white man, wants you to do when you do that.
I think the Tuskegee experiment figures into conspiratorial views, too.
Right. Very often when people are identifying a rumor or a contemporary legend and talking to me about it, they will verify the rumor or they will support the rumor by referring to very real, very accurate, very true stories and very true situations about African-American history. The Tuskegee experiment is one of the best examples. For over 40 years, there was a cohort of African-American men in the vicinity of Tuskegee, Alabama. And the Public Health Service had designed an experiment by which they wanted to see the effects of untreated syphilis on the body. So they told these men that they had bad blood, and they enticed them to participate in an experiment that lasted over 40 years. There was no comparable white study group, and even after the invention of penicillin and drugs that would have mitigated the effect of syphilis on these men, the experiment continued. And it wasn't a secret experiment. A lot of people think that this was some hush-hush secret experiment. All along, the researchers were publishing the results of their study in medical journals. It was well known within the medical community that this experiment was being conducted. And people thought that this was a perfectly acceptable enterprise to embark upon.
So the logic is if they could let the Tuskegee experiment happen, God knows what else they could try to do.
Exactly.
Now, what about other realities that might figure into conspiracy thinking, such as the reality that American intelligence organizations spied on civil rights leaders, spied on black militant leaders, infiltrated the organizations? Do you think that feeds those theories too?
Oh, definitely. And in terms of the governmental conspiracy rumors, I'm very careful to say in my book and elsewhere that I can't get to the facts of these as easily as I can with the consumer items. It's much easier for me in researching the consumer items to figure out who owns a company and to figure out what's in Church's Chicken and to figure out the basis for truth in these items. I don't know who designed AIDS. I don't know that. I don't know. Talk about a slip. I don't know where AIDS came from. I don't know where AIDS came from. I don't know what the exact source of that infection is. I don't know how drugs got into the African-American community. And there is only so far that I, as a scholar, can go in trying to get to that information. So I try to be very cautious in my book, not to say that I know for sure that there's no grounds for authenticity in these governmental conspiracy items.
But does it disturb you when somebody says with great conviction that they're sure that AIDS is a conspiracy on the part of the United States government to kill off the black population, that the AIDS virus was designed by the government for that purpose, and then it was put into the black community?
When I look at all of the things that we hear about AIDS, when you remember things like the African green monkey theory, that was a possible source of the virus, there's certainly enough information in the news that we are getting about AIDS that would lead a reasonable person to the conclusion that perhaps this is just another instance of the government being out to get a minority population. I think that the kinds of beliefs that most disturb me. I was on another radio call-in show, and a pediatrician called in who was trying to convince African-American parents in her area to get their children inoculated. And a rumor had sprung up that there was something in the inoculations that would lead their children not to be able to procreate, or that would damage their children. Now, this is, again, a very old one. When the Salk vaccine, the polio vaccine, first came out, doctors encountered this in the 1950s as well. And I think that that disturbs me when people are, and children are not getting inoculations because of a belief like this.
Do you try to talk people out of believing rumors, or do you see it as just your job to collect them?
It's just my job to collect them. I certainly talk to people, you know, in the process of an interview, people will say to me, you don't believe this, or you found out otherwise about this. And I'm always happy to share what I know up to a certain point with people. But I don't think it's my place to try to talk anyone out of a particular belief. For one thing, it's usually pretty futile. Once a person has decided that with a great deal of conviction about one of these things, there's very little I or anybody else could say that will deter them.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Patricia Turner. She's the author of the new book, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, Rumor in African-American Culture. She's also an associate professor of African-American and African Studies at the University of California at Davis.